The Lord be with you.
Let us pray.
With you, O God, we go forward from one discovery to another as we try to find out what you want for us and from us. Our life opens up to your Spirit. We're thankful, O God, that your Spirit comes to bring to us fulfillment in things that we would dare not even hope for. Amen. The speaker for today is Amy Chatelaine. She is a 2012 grad, so just not even a year ago, and she is serving her year in Washington, D.C. at Joseph's House. It's a discipleship year through Church of the Savior. We're only singing one hymn this morning. We're going to wait until the very end to sing it. So, Amy, I think we're ready for you.
Thank you, Pastor Merle. I am so thrilled to be back at St. Olaf, especially during this time of year. Winter in Washington, D.C. pales in comparison to what I know and love of the hill. The snowbrush limestone, the smell of malt meal before a snowstorm, and the still crisp air that would meet me coming out of Rovog after a late night of studying. I truly enjoy sharing stories of Minnesota winters with many of the residents at Joseph's House, my placement during my year of service through the Discipleship Year program. Founded in the 90s by Dr. David Hilfiger, Joseph's House is a home that serves as a hospice for homeless men and women in Washington, D.C. in the last stages of AIDS and cancer. It is located in the Adams Morgan neighborhood of D.C., and welcomes around 35 residents each year. From the beginning, Dr. David Hilfiger worked to create a radically intentional community where residents, staff, and volunteers commune over shared meals and spend long hours together on the front porch. Our current director, Patty Waddell, continues to guide Joseph's House in the spiritual practices that cultivate unreserved love, unconditional welcome, and simple presence. All of these, with a good deal of soul food thrown in the mix, bring profound healing to residents, staff, and volunteers alike through the relationships we develop. While I entered my time at Joseph's House with little idea of the challenges and lessons I would encounter, I knew my education from St. Olaf prepared me to be open to them. I am deeply grateful to my mentors among the faculty here who have helped me explore intellectual topics and cross-cutting social issues with humility and compassion. They encouraged the cultivation of my insatiable curiosity for things beyond my understanding and the courage and conviction to continue to engage with issues and people well outside my realm of comfort and knowing. This education and welcoming that I took with me from my home on the hill, I carried with me, which to a place would become quickly a new home for me at Joseph's House. As I crossed over its threshold on my first day back in September, I knew that I had much, much more to learn. Let me be honest and say that it's going to be difficult for me to share Joseph's House with you this morning and the relationships that I've developed there. Words are too small of a container and tempt us to construct an understanding from our heads rather than opening to receive the mystery and truth with our entire humanity. It's unfortunate that I'm living off of a stipend this year and can't afford to bring you all out to DC, to Washington, D.C. with me. I eat enough rice and beans this year as it is. So I ask for a good deal of grace as I share my experience with you through my limited words this morning, especially as I'm in the midst of some of the most formative, earnest, and urgent lessons of my life. I invite us to open into this time together with a prayer of welcome by Mary Murzowski. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me in this moment because I know it is for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for security. I let go of my desire for approval. I let go of my desire for control. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and the healing action and grace within. Amen. One of the first things I learned at Joseph's House is that I had pretty much no idea what to expect when I stepped through that front door each day, let alone any control. And let me assure you, this was a fairly significant shift from one coming from 4 years of planning life to the hour on her Google Calendar. I soon discovered that one of the crucial lessons for me to learn was how to let go and simply be. To stop reaching for control in the face of uncertainty or running from mystery by relying on my own analytic reasoning. I began to recognize that the answers I sought in how to heal began in staying with uncertainty and opening to its mystery. Allow me to shift gears for a few moments as I share with you the scripture I'd like us to consider today. It comes from Matthew's first chapter, verses 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. Here ends the reading. Does it seem a little out of place to hear about the birth of Jesus during Lent? Shouldn't we be focusing on Jesus about 30 years down the road by now? Or, heaven forbid, did Amy panic at the pulpit and leave out the last few verses? Well, let's not get our Lutheran Long Johns in a bundle. We are all aware of how the story ends and that there was more than just a single lady with a baby in that manger. I ask us today to consider those verses for what they can tell us exactly in that moment, not what we anticipate is about to happen. It is, in fact, a practice in presence that I'm learning at Joseph's House, meeting a resident where he is in the moment, not how I've known him before or where I anticipate him to be. So I ask we stay with Joseph precisely where he's at in this moment. What could you imagine coming up in the heart of Joseph? In his mind? What would come up in your own? Admittedly, we can't fully know, and I'm not about to psychoanalyze Joseph, but we can make guesses based on our knowledge of the social context within which Mary and Joseph lived. Joseph has just discovered that Mary is pregnant with a child he knows he did not father. Based on the laws and traditions of their society, she could be publicly shamed, and both could be subject to judgment and stigma. And really, as her husband, Joseph could have even stoned her. We get a glimpse into Joseph's heart when reading of his mercy towards Mary, as he is unwilling to expose her to public disgrace. So yeah, Joseph is a good guy. And yet, we see his mind making the decision to ultimately dismiss her based on the social consequences he faces. Joseph is ready to abandon Mary in perhaps one of the most vulnerable moments of her life. Perhaps I'm given pause here because I'm struck by the humanness of Joseph in this moment. What do we do when we face uncertainty and things beyond our control? Do we too have the impulse to run from, to quiet, or to send away mystery? Are we tempted to cling all the harder to the security of doctrines held by popular society? Let me, for my part, confess, yes. I once again ask for grace as I welcome you over the threshold of my experience at Joseph's house and into my heart space as I share just one story of one resident that transformed me, one volunteer. Trayshawn came to us at the end of November. It's been fascinating to observe how the atmosphere of Joseph's house shifts with each new resident. She would be the first female resident since I began. We were all curious and a little giddy to see what it would be like to have a little more estrogen in the air, or a lot. I met Trayshawn right as her ambulance came into our back alley. I helped her get situated in bed and filled her closet with stylish clothes, long jackets, and achingly high heels. This was a woman who defined glamour. I even found out later that she designed and made most of her own clothing. One of the many things that I loved about Trayshawn from the beginning was her vivacious spirit and sense of humor. In those first months, as I navigated all the newness in my role as a resident care aide, she taught me to laugh at and be gentler towards myself. She accepted me just as I was, and that was so freeing for me. For example, we laughed so hard on the drive to her dentist appointment as I attempted to make it through the crazy DC traffic in the Joseph's house minivan. Finally, we did make it home, but realized soon that I still needed to parallel park on a one-way street. In a phrase, oofda. And the first time I assisted her with a shower, we both ended up doused in water and fits of laughter. Trayshawn's kindness greeted me in the mornings with a, "Hey, Miss Amy, how are you doing today?" And I left each night with her loving care as she gave me a hug and told me to be safe on my walk home. One night after dinner, the two of us ended up sitting together talking for over an hour. I sat with her and listened as she allowed me into her whole self beyond layers of labels, assumptions, and judgment placed on her by society, and these were many. Trayshawn was living with, and now actually dying from, AIDS. She was an immigrant. A stroke she suffered several months before left her with impaired speech, making her at times difficult to understand. And Trayshawn was trans female. I was surprised and touched by how quickly and fully Trayshawn opened to me as she shared in tears much of the deep heartaches of her life. I realized that I had no words, no reasoning or explanation to offer her that seemed adequate. There was no medication I could retrieve from the nurse's office for her pain. The deep pain of having one's humanity diminished by being isolated from society. But what I did have were ears to listen with compassion and a hand to hold with the assurance that I was staying with her. In what ended up being the last week of her life, Trayshawn became confined to her bed, her pain, dizziness, and nausea too much to handle. I sat up with her on the edge of her bed, supporting her as she choked on her meds and holding her as she shook and vomited into a bucket. Laying back down exhausted, she looked at me and said, "I don't like this at all, Amy. I am so tired of it." We hold one another a lot in different ways at Joseph's house. When I would slip my hand into Ernestine's, rub Enda's back, massage Carl's temples, even if no words were spoken, we met one another in this moment of hospitality that said, "You are welcomed here. You are loved. I am staying with you through whatever you go through. You will not be abandoned." And it is here again that I meet Joseph. He could have abandoned Mary, but did something quite radical instead. Joseph stayed. After a visit from one of God's messengers, Joseph hears and responds to the call of God to accompany Mary on a journey beyond both of their understanding. Joseph abides by the law of God to accompany instead of the law of society that would have him abandon her. How magnificent that Christ entered our world in the midst of this beautifully vulnerable companionship of Mary and Joseph. The word of God is delivered, and we know that word is love. We are all called to love. And to truly learn how, we must answer God's call to welcome one another, especially those most isolated in our society. The hospitality of Joseph's house is also a deeply spiritual practice as I learn how to cultivate welcome within myself. Practicing a life of welcome this year has been so transformative to me. It is allowing my living to open me so that I may more courageously, more vulnerably, and more joyfully share my heart space with others and with things beyond my own understanding. And in that space, I find God. I find grace, and I find healing. It moves me that I have learned so much about hospitality this year from people who at some point in their life were homeless. And I want to live my life in a way that honors Trayshawn, Dewey, Ernestine, Carl, Anna, Shayna, James, Edna, Eric, Curtis, Roy, and Hawk. All who have shared their heart space with me and help me understand how to welcome, how to love, how to let go, and how to heal. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.